Let's ask the Lord to bless our study of the harmony of the Gospels this morning. Our precious Father, we are thanking you for this time when we can gather and continue our journey with the Lord Jesus Christ in those last three years of his life here on this earth. We just pray that we'll learn more and more about your nature, more and more about the nature of humanity, and that with this knowledge, we would just purpose to be more like you. For it's in your wonderful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Harmony of the Gospels. Basically, we're going to focus today on Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. If you want a sheet, they are back there. Please make sure, get one. It's easy to follow as we go through. This particular account is only found in the book of Matthew, so it makes it relatively easy for us in going through this particular aspect. In fact, what we've been looking at most recently, we call this the Sermon on the Mount of Olives, and he's been answering, the Lord's been answering his disciples' questions concerning when shall these things be, talking about the, his coming, when shall the sign of his of thy coming and the end of the world. What is that sign? We talked about those signs and so forth in chapter 24. And he's been given some parables. Last time we focused on Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, in which we saw the parable of the 10 virgins. And the emphasis there was that he wanted them to be watching. You know, you don't know the exact moment when the bridegroom cometh, when the Lord will come again. Now, we can see some of the signs, but to know the actual day, actual hour, nobody knows except the Father. But he wants us to be watching. But we've also seen in his teachings, along with watching, he also wants his people to be ready, yeah, working. So you think those two W's, watching and working. Working while you watch. All right? Now, let's take a look at this parable of the talents. All right. First question, verse 14. What is the kingdom of heaven as? Well, Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is as what? A man traveling into a far country. Well, now watch what he does before he goes to that far country. Who called his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. All right, what stands out to you from that particular verse? Yes, he's going away. And we've seen here in some of the other teachings about him leaving and then coming back, and they weren't ready when he came back. So again, we see that this, the aspect is that this particular one, this master, of course, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ being resurrected, but he's coming back. And all right, but what else do you see in that verse? Anything else strikes you? His goods, but what else his? You see his goods, but there's another his. His servants. All right, we see his own servants and we see his goods. Now, let me ask you something. Now, you and I know that every born again believer is his servant, right? But in the mind's eye of God, who are his servants? Everyone. Who has he not created? Everyone who he's created then is, in a sense, his servants. So when you look at this, his servants, don't be thinking in your mind, okay, just Christians, all right, or just Jews. When he talks about his servants, you're going to see he's given his goods to his servants. Now, is that what our God does? Now, you know, in this picture, the goods we're going to explain to is being some kind of financial silver, probably, is what it was. But when we look at this, and it's a parable, he's trying to tell a story. So he's likening this to the fact that God gives his goods. And who does he give his goods to? His servants. And who is his servants? Everybody. Now, what are some kind of gifts that God might give to anyone? The talents they have to work with. Do all of us servants have the same talents? No. Is it possible some of his servants have physical gifts that others don't have? Yeah. Are we all great baseball stars? Are we all great actors? Are we all great? You think of any other kind of occupation, even a painter. All right. Is everyone a great painter? No. How do we know that? Because too many want a painter. Pardon? Yeah, there's Da Vinci. He's a different kind of painter, right? But what you see, and everyone who has a physical life has some form of gift given to him of God. Because we're told all good things come from God, all right? So there's those kind of gifts. And we know that there is just mental abilities along with physical abilities. There are emotional abilities that he has bestowed upon on everyone. And so what I want you to be understanding is, man, we're all his servants. Whether we will acknowledge it or not, we are all his servants. Now, what did the master give to his servants? Now let's talk about it. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. And to another, 1. And I give you this definition. A talent was a measure of weight varying in size from about 75 pounds. It was used to weigh precious metals. These were silver. And the reason why we know that, because word translated money in verse 18 means silver. So he's given them this gift, this silver. But don't just keep your mind confined to that. But in this situation, he says he's using the aspect silver. He's given them this gift. He gives 1 5 talents, a weight of silver. I've meant quite a bit, right? 5 talents of 75 pounds each. Wow. And to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1. Now watch, here's the question. Why did the master give to each one varying amounts? No, we saw they did, but here's the answer to that. To every man according to his several ability, his own ability is the way it's also translated. So what do we learn about the master? What's that? He's what now? Fair, all right. He knows his servants. He knows his servants because to one servant he gives 5, to one he gives 2, and to one he gives 1. So he knows the ability of his servants. Now you think about that. What's that verse teach you and I about a master-servant relationship? If we're the master, then we ought to be what? We ought to be studying and understanding the abilities of our servants, those who are under us, those who work for us. We need to make a conscious effort to understand, wow. And it's the same thing about a parent. Think about a parent now and their children. Did your children all have the same abilities? And the answer to that is no. If your child has a mental capacity of here and you expect them to go here, are you going to frustrate that child? Sure are. But you need to know, well, listen, because if this child has ability to go there, but they're working down here, you need to know that so you can encourage them to move up to where you know their ability is. But we see the master man, he knows. And of course, you know, you and I don't have perfect knowledge, but as much as we can, we ought to know the abilities that God's given to the one who is under us. Now, next question. Where did the master go? Where did the master go, not do? And straightway he took his journey. All right, picturing the Lord leaving. What did the servant who received the 5 talents do with them, according to verse 16? Then he that had received the 5 talents, what did he do? Well, we read that he went and traded with the same, and he made the other 5 talents. Went and traded with those same 5, and he made from 5 he went to what? Went to 10. Okay, what did the servant who received the 2 talents do with them? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Now, what did the servant who received the 1 talent do with it? But he that had received 1, he went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. All right, so we see that the first 2, they kind of worked together, and they, in fact, increased. How much did they increase? Double. All right, they doubled it up. 1 went from 5 to 10, and 1 went from 2 to 4. Okay, they doubled. Now, we're told the first one went and traded. The next one, we're not told what he did to double it. Did he go and went and trade to, also? We're not told. But whatever he did, he doubled it. All right? So we see that these individuals are taking those gifts and goods that their Lord, his Lord has given to them, and he's gone out and he's doubled them. Now, who's he doubling them for? For the master. Now, think about that. He's doing this for the master. Page 2. All right, when did the master return home? Well, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. All right. Now, what did the master do when he returned home? He reckoned with them. What do you think that means? And he reckoned with them. All right. Reckon. He's going to reckon with them. Okay, it's time to settle the situation. Okay, hey, what have you done? And so forth. And, you know, what have you done for me? Because then this is what I'll do for you. But notice back there when he gave the 1 5 talents, what instructions did he give them with those 5? And when he gave the 1 to 2, and when he gave the 1 to 1, did he tell them what he wanted them to do with their talents? No. He didn't tell them, I want you to double. He didn't give them the aspect of telling them exactly what he wanted them to do with their talents, except the expectation was that they would use them for the master. Now watch. What did a servant who received the 5 talents give and say to his master? And so he, now watch, that had received 5 talents, he came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. How did the master respond to this servant? His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, I ask you this question. In what different ways do you think his servant was rewarded? You want to venture any thoughts or any speculations on that? I mean, some of it there might be fairly clear. Maybe others would take more imagination. First of all, how does he describe him? Good and faithful. All right, good and faithful. And how had the master perceived that he had been good and faithful. By the increase. By the increase. His labor had brought an increase. And he talks about the whole aspect. Thou hast been what? What is it the Lord looking for his servants to be? First and foremost, faithful. Thou hast been faithful. And what's he been faithful over? A few things. In other words, that which God has given to him, the talents that he's given to him, he increased it. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What comes to your mind when you read a phrase like that? Because you see, he says, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. So in your mind, you might say, okay, now this servant is going to be promoted. Maybe right then and there he's going to be promoted, that he's going to be over other aspects of the master. Okay, he maybe had been the house servant. Or maybe he had been the servant in the barn. Or been the servant in the fields. But now he's going to make him, he talks about the ruler over many things. So now he's going to go from this area of being the servant to many areas. So we see he's going to be given more responsibility and so forth, okay? Now, that's right down in, but when you see the joy of the Lord, thou shalt enter into the joy of the Lord. You got to be thinking not only now, but you got to be thinking what? Eternity. So we see that he's going to bless this one, not only now, but he's going to, and presently, but he's going to also bless him later. Now watch. What did the servant who received the two talents give and say to this master? He also that received two talents, he came, and he said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained beside them two other talents. Very similar, isn't it? As you compare those two verses, verse 20 now to verse 22. And look at 21 with 23. How did the master respond to this servant? His Lord said unto him, well done. He just left out, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So what are some of the similarities you see between these two servants? And first, take a look at their what they said when they came, the two servants came, verse 20 and verse 22. What similarities do you see there? They both had received something, all right, and they both had doubled that which they had received. Now, what other similarities now do you see as far as the master's rewarding of them too? He called them both good and faithful, so we see he describes them as good and faithful. All right, they both had been faithful over a few things, and he made them what? Rule over many things. But also we see there's the last phrase, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, is used to both of them. So here's both of them not only going to be blessed here and now, but they're going to also be blessed in eternity. So very, very similar to these first two servants. All right, turn with me to page 3. Now, what did the servant who received the one talent give and say to his master? Then he which had received one talent, he came, said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hadst not sown, and gathering where thou hadst not strawed. The word hard, I show you, means fierce. Also, it means hard, harsh, rough, stiff. All right, so what was the servant's impression or perception, if you will, of his master. He was a hard, harsh master. Do you believe that there's some individuals in the world created by their God who perceive him as being hard, harsh, severe, mean? Listen, I know before I got saved, I believed that God was real, but I just believed he was a real evil God. So I know at least one for sure like that. And let's realize, every unsaved person, they do not have the right understanding of who God is. They can't, because they have not what within them. They don't have the spirit of understanding, all right? Unless one has the spirit of understanding, they can't understand. Now, they may not all be the same. Because of their various backgrounds, they may have various concepts of who God is, what God is. But his perception of God is, man, he's just a hard man. And I give you some references concerning, is it possible for the ungodly that they do not perceive that with God with the right understanding? And those are some of references for you. Now, but notice what else he says, okay? I know you're a hard man, but then he says, and I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Now, I ask you the question, do you really think he was really afraid? Was he really afraid? And why do you think he was afraid? Why do you think he wasn't afraid? Anybody want to take a shot in the dark about that? Okay, he didn't have the means or wherewithal with how to increase. But I'm asking you a question, do you think he was afraid? Because remember, he says earlier, what? That I know that thou art a hard man. And the indication is, oh, I did this because I was afraid of you. Most likely, they're all being called together at the same time. Well, okay. All right. He knew he already was in a bad situation. Yeah. Now, it's kind of interesting that whereas we don't see any specific instruction of God saying, okay, go and double this, we notice that with the first two, they did go and double it. But it appears from that, though it may not have been stated, it was certainly understood that their master expected them to increase what he gave to them, to bring forth an increase. Now, he says, I know you're a hard man. And the indication is, because I knew you, I just buried it. What's a demonstration that you and I truly fear God? If you fear me, you're going to what? You're going to obey. You're going to keep my commandments. So if the other two understood, we need to get an increase, this one also understood he needed it be an increase, and instead, he buries it. So whereas he may be mouthing the words, oh, I fear God. I mean, do the unsaved really fear God? If the unsaved really fear God, what would they be doing? Man, they would be running to him, crying out with mercy. So was there a genuine fear here? I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Well, here it is. Here it is. And by the way, I ask you this. Why do you think this servant put little effort? Well, really put no effort, did he, into increasing it? Why do you think that? I do give you a little hint. Well, he didn't like his master. That could be. Lazy? Whose increase was this going to be? Yeah, thy talent. That is thine. Let's face it now. How much do you work a little harder when you perceive it's going to be yours? Versus, okay, I'm going to work a little harder when I know it's going to be there. I'm going to increase the institution. I'm going to increase the business of this man, the wealth of this other individual. Oh, so now that he can buy himself a yacht or an airplane. I perceive that maybe he didn't put as much effort into it, not only because he lacked understanding, but because his understanding was, it's not going to benefit me. So if it's not going to benefit me, I'll just bury it. Because otherwise it's going to take work. Now, but look what else he says here. Because he'd said, look at the master's response, and then we can see it in verse 26 and 27. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Okay, so he puts together two words, wicked and what? So we see there's a whole situation about being lazy, don't we? He says, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed, thrown out. He didn't deny what he had said about him, that you're able to reap where you don't sow. He didn't deny that because God is able to what? The nature of our God is he can't bring an increase where he hasn't done any sowing. He has that power. He's not saying, but even if the idea, if I have that power, even more so you should what? Have obeyed me. If you know that I have this capability, and he doesn't deny that he has this ability. But he says, if you know that I have this ability, how much more so should you be serving me? Taking that which I've given to you and bringing the increase. In fact, look what he says in verse 27. What's the master respond to his servant? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. Now, do you see why he was not all that excited about making an effort to gain an increase? Because he understood it was God's money. He understood it was God's goods. And he didn't care about ministering unto his master for his glory, for his good. Now, but look at this. I ask you the question. Is God concerned with what we are doing with the goods and gifts he has given to us? As you look at that, you say, yeah, he sure is interested in what we're doing with the gifts and goods that he's given to us. What does the master command of those who are observing this reckoning? Others are theirs. Somebody asked me earlier where the other servants are. I think maybe it was Jerry, but yeah, okay, because here's what he says. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. What do you think about that? Then I had a little sarcastic question. What do you think the socialists think about that? Yeah. I mean, right now our whole Democratic Party is advocating what? Take from the rich and give to the poor. Well, here we see what?
The guy's got 10, you're going to give him another? What's this all about?
It's about what? One word. Give me one word. How did he address them? Thou good and faithful servant. That's what it's about. How does God reward us? Reward is based on our unfaithfulness? Or does he reward us on the basis of our faithfulness? And you know the answer. Based on our faithfulness. Therefore, we ought to be faithful. We read about, you know, how Christians, if their works are wood, hay, and stubble, or versus gold, silver, precious stones. Now, what works of ours would you think, as you look down through here, would be classified as gold, silver, precious stones? And I've taken that which is God's and given to me, and I've now brought an increase. What works? What would be the distinguishing difference? Who have I been working for? If I've been working for me, myself, and I, the Trinity, but if I've been working for God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it brings forth rewards. And this is what he is saying. He's saying, wait a minute. And the rewards in the aspect where one can be taken from this one who's been doing nothing, and that gift that's been given to him, going to be taken from him and given to the one who has been faithful. Now, sheet 4. What did the master command? Why did the master command this to be done? Now he tells us. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, who are the hath and who are the hath not? Those that have are those who have been what? Faithful. Those who have not are those who have not been faithful. Why do they have not? Because they have not been laboring for their master, their Lord. Now, we're not done yet. What does the master command to be done to these unfaithful and unprofitable servants? And cast ye the unprofitable servants into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So where does Jesus indicate their final abode will be? And I have you flash back to chapter 24, looking at verse 51. And shall cut us under and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The destination of this unfaithful, unprofitable servant is ultimately where? Hell. That's why when we look out here and we understand, man, God's given gifts and goods to everybody. The fact that one does not acknowledge God for who God is doesn't mean that God will not hold him accountable. God's going to hold 50% of the world accountable, 75% of the world accountable. Everybody's going to be held accountable. We're coming on down as we go through this chapter. We'll see that. Everybody's got to stand before God and give an account. And if they have not been working for the master's sake, that which they did have is going to be taken from them. Now, what do we learn about our God in these verses? Anything? God is faithful. Faithful how? What's he do? For everybody. He gives them what? Some form of
Everybody. Everybody in this world gets some kind of talent. He gives them talents. You can break that down however you want. But everybody you know has a talent. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. But they're given talents. And everyone should be using the talents that they've been given of God to bring glory to God. That's the chief end of man, to bring honor and glory to God. What else do we know about God? Well, we know that he expects his servants to be utilizing them, right, for his glory. And we also learn about God, he's going to reckon with his servants. We know that about our God. And also we learn that, hey, God's capable of doing great things, reaping where he hasn't even sown. We know God can do that. Now, what do we learn about mankind? Some of mankind will use the talents that God's given to them very wisely. Thou good and faithful servant. Other servants of God, the unsaved, the unprofitable, will not use them at all. They'll just bury them. So we know that. All right, so we know what some things about our God. We know some things about mankind. Question. All right, so how might these verses change my behavior? How might they have an effect on me? Hey, knowing that there's a day of reckoning with God, I purpose to what? Be using God's talents to bring honor and glory to him. That's the chief end of man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for this wonderful reminder of what you have done for us, what you've given to us. Oh, Lord, they're not all the same. You know each of the abilities of each of us. But you've given to all of us some mental capacities. You've given to all of us some emotional capacities. You've given to some of us some just physical capacities. Not all the same, but we've received them. And Lord, praise God, you've given to us spiritual qualities. And with these good gifts that we've received, your expectation is for us to take them and bring an increase. Bring an increase of wealth, of souls, for the Lord's sake. So continue to use us to encourage the unsaved, to encourage the saved, to be more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.